And now we're going to talk about a little deeper about God's Word. And the title of the lesson is God's Word in My Heart. The Bible is important to Christians, obviously. It's a message to us from God. It tells us how we ought to live. If we take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And starting at verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Peter also tells us that it has everything that we need to live in this world. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 3, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." And as important as the Bible is, for a lot of us, it gets really frustrating when there's a passage that we want to find and we can't remember where it's at. See, the Bible tells us that we are to hold and hide God's Word within us, to hide it in our hearts. In Psalms 119, Psalms 119, and in verse 11, it says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Having God's word with us helps protect us from the temptations that Satan sends our way. In fact, take a look at what Jeremiah was told. In Jeremiah 15 and in verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." We're actually being told to chew on God's word. Not literally, but to think about them, to mull on them, to process them, to make them a part of us. In the New Testament, we're told in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness to God in your hearts." We're to let God's word live within us. And one way we do that is through songs. Songs give us a tune to remember God's words with. Oftentimes when we're teaching little children's classes, they teach, you know, the books of the Bible set to a tune. They set other parts, the Judges and things like that, set it to a tune. It's easier to remember. And a lot of our psalms that we sing are words out of the Bible set to tunes. So it's not just memorization. God is talking about making his word a part of us, about how we make decisions, how we live our lives. And we're told that when we speak, we're to speak as God speaks. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So how do we make God's word a part of us? Well, one aspect of this is memorization. But let's face it, not all of us can memorize large portions of the scriptures. Being able to quote a passage is really good. But what about the person being quoted to, who is listening to the quote? How does he or she know that you're reciting the passage accurately? See, they need to be able to be familiar with the scriptures as well. They need to be able to look up those verses themselves. In fact, that's what the Bereans did when Paul taught them things that they had not thought of before. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it said, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." They double-checked what Paul said. They went through the scrolls. They looked at what the passages actually said. And even when I do happen to have a verse memorized, like for instance, I had for a long time memorized, I think I memorized it back when I was 16, if I remember correctly, that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I memorized it out of the ASV version. But I will turn over to the passage anyway. Especially, and usually when I'm studying with somebody, I have that person read it. We'll talk about the passage and things like that, but I have the person I'm studying with read it from their Bible, as well as turning to it. They see the context. They see the words. I also do a little more to it. I listen to when people read. I'm listening for them to stumble over words, because the words they stumble over are the ones they're not familiar with. Or it's saying something they're not expecting. And so those are things that I've selected to start talking about. But by having somebody read it from their Bibles, I'm less likely to misquote it because of my faulty memory, especially as I'm getting older. And then the person can see for themselves that this is really what God said. They can also read the context to see that I wasn't pulling it out of context. Now, hopefully, maybe you noticed over the years, you know, I turn to the passages during lessons. That's my choice. And I give at least a moment for everybody else to turn to that passage too, and then read the verse. I'm doing that so that you can check to see that what I'm saying is so, that you find it in your own Bibles, and not just because I stood up here and said it. We want God's Word to be a part of you, to be familiar with your Bible. And in that familiarization, we need to grow in it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and down at verse 18, right at the end of the letter, Peter says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." We should never get to the point where we're satisfied, well, I know enough. I should always be seeking to grow and expand what I know. In fact, there's a warning in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." We have to put it into use. Memorizing a passage doesn't do you much good if you don't have an immediate use for it, because it's hard to keep it in your memory. In my past, I've met excellent mathematicians who could solve the most complex geometric problems. And most of us can't. In fact, most of us probably wouldn't even know where to begin. But have you thought about it? That there's all sorts of houses going up around here. The carpenters are solving complex geometric problems every day. They know exactly how to cut those boards such that the roof comes out to the right pitch. And they do it seemingly almost without effort. Why? Because they use the same methods over and over and over again. It's a part of their daily life. It's not that they're brilliant mathematicians. They could be. They know the right formulas, the right methods to get the right results. And it's through a repeated use. Repeated use locks ideas into our heads. Now, in order for us to encourage growth, but sometimes when we're doing Bible studies, I know Gary does this, and I do it every once in a while. When you answer a question in Bible class, don't answer with, "I think." Because what you're doing is then saying, "I'm expressing an opinion." We should be speaking as the oracles of God. So find the passage first, and then state, well, over in this place, it says this. It gives you a chance to put it into use, applying a passage to a particular thought or question. When someone tells you a problem in their life, think about what passage would best address his or her situation, and then share it with that person. When something really bothers you, again, think about what passage would best guide you, and then go read it again. Another way to put it into use, start a cross-reference. I know a lot of your Bibles have cross-references in them. But start putting some of your own cross-references in your Bible. You got margins usually on the side. Even my Bible here that has very little margins, I still jot. I find places, there's little blank spaces. I can still jot every once in a while little notes. And when you run across a verse that particularly fits with another verse really well, put a cross-reference between them. Because you might need it later. Keep a list of key verses. I've shown this to a lot of people. I've done this so long now, I got it printed up. But I used to handwrite. Every time I had a Bible study, somebody asked me a question I didn't know the answer to. Those blank pages in the front and back of your Bible, I would jot down the topic and put the verse and a little quick reminder of what that verse was about right next to it. Over the years, I built up with several pages worth of notes. That's why it got kind of awkward every time I moved to a new Bible. I had to rewrite that list, and I would make typos. So I started putting it in my computer and printing labels, so I can get to it faster. But I've carried around. Now, I've used that list so long that I almost never look at it anymore. But I make sure I have it there, because I figure my memory is going to go one of these days. But this is another way to make use of it. Now, when a speaker mentions a passage, whether it's I or Ray or Gary or whoever's speaking at the time, look it up. Even if you know it by heart, look it up. Talk with people about the Bible. Because there's nothing like a discussion to get your mental gears going. And yeah, somebody's going to bring up something you don't know. To me, that's victory. Oh, I haven't thought about that. I need to go study that. I gave myself a purpose for a study. I get deeper in the Word and grow by it. So a lot of people are so intimidated to talk to somebody because, oh, I might not know the answer. Well, the answer is then, good. Here's a chance to go learn it. Now you got a reason to go find it. Do that enough times, and it'll start becoming a part of you. Another way is to give yourself reminders. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your foreheads. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Give yourself reminders. Write out a favorite passage. Put it where you can see it. Stick it on the mirror when you see it in the morning. We have fun with it, the words that we put up on the walls here. But they're passages out of the Scriptures. They help remind us. My wife's got all sorts of little quotes and passages from various Bible verses scattered around the walls of the house. They help remind us. In fact, I know one woman who took the idea out of Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. This was actually written to the kings of Israel. But it says, now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. This was how the kings were supposed to make sure they remembered the law. They were supposed to write their own copy out. I would think, every once in a while, I think that would be such a good rule. Have every president and every legislator write down a copy of the entire law. I think the laws will start getting shorter. But what this woman did, she took basically parts of the Bible, hand wrote them out in nice script, then had them bound and gave them as gifts. But the process of writing it out helped keep it in her memory. And we should think about the Scriptures. Take a look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms talks about the wicked and he talks about the righteous. And in Psalms 1 and verse 2, talking about the righteous, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How often do you think about the Scriptures? Think about what they're saying. Again, in Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And in Psalm 63, Psalm 63 and in verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Those nights when you can't sleep. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, think about what God said about something. Probably a lot more calming. And probably the greatest way to help you learn is that by teaching somebody else to learn. That's why I love teaching Bible classes and teaching one-on-one. I'm constantly refreshing what I've learned and adding to it. In Proverbs 15 and verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Spread your knowledge, and you'll find your knowledge growing. Now, very few of us are able to learn purely for learning's sake. Most of us need a reason to learn, a goal in mind. You know, one way is to figure out why things are as they are. For example, you could memorize all the rules of grammar in the English language, which are there are lots of them. Or you can figure out why those rules exist. And then the rest comes easy. I think the best book I ever read on a grammar was a little tiny short book. But all it did was explain what all those notations of, you know, the colon and the semicolon and the dash, what they were for, where they came up from, why they were there. And suddenly I found out I was using commas a whole lot better than I used to. Because I started to grasp why they're there. Knowledge comes easy to a person who understands why. Take a look at Proverbs 14 and in verse 6. The scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. But knowledge is easy to the one who has understanding. When you grasp why, the details are easier to hold on to. Now, with that also, we got to realize that we never can allow ourselves to think we know it all. You have to understand you're going to be wrong at times. I've been wrong several times, many times. But we are trying to learn. In Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. If I try to avoid all mistakes, I'll never learn. I need to make mistakes. Not that I'm purposely trying to, but I need to put it out so that somebody can point out where I have flaws, so I can make corrections. See, the corollary to this is you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Studying with others help because they will bring up points that you never thought about before. So go learn. Never think that you have to have all the answers before you start studying with somebody. If that was true, none of us would be studying with anybody. And don't ignore a subject simply because you don't understand it. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. It's so easy to mock what you don't know. But that doesn't make you a better person. Yeah, Bible study's hard. But it's hard for some because they never make learning the Bible a part of their lives. Most of us have been at it for quite a while, but we need reminders every once in a while. We need to put the effort in because this is God's communication to us. There's nothing more essential to our lives than what God has told us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, we'd like to pray as your brother on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.